Welcome to the first recording of AmScan Lit, a Velvo podcast series, which was initiated in the beginning of 2011. AmScan Lit intends to regularly archive the contemporary works of both emerging and established writers located in either America or Scandinavia. I'm Jacqueline Davis, and I'm here with Stockholm-based artist and writer Leif Elgren to discuss his book of literature titled Genealogy, which was first published in 2005 by Firework Edition, a small publishing press that Leif Elgren and Thomas Liljenberg established in 1979. Firework Editions not only publishes books, but other printed matter, records, and also organizes various exhibitions as a creative entity with a focus on interdisciplinary collaboration. They have expanded to publish videos as well, with the help of Kent Tancred since 1995. Elgren has been an active artist since the 1970s, and his work was recently displayed in Moderna Museet's controversial exhibition Moderna Utställningen 2010, alongside other established artists such as Olaf Westfallen, Anne-Sophie Sidén, and Jonas Dahlberg. A writer, visual artist, stage performer, and composer, he has many albums and books to his credit, solo and collaborating with other artists. His latest release is Physiological Frequencies, and it's a selection of his writings and drawings. He's also working on a new book titled Seeing in the Dark. I've read Genealogy, and I'm curious to hear how you have made certain literary decisions to move among and between the chosen subject matter, which I feel covers a lot of bases, such as questions and observations into solitude, political contradictions and power plays, personal matters such as your relationship with your aging father, your fascination with concepts such as kingliness and monarchies, first-hand accounts of your collaborations with other artists over the years, your fixation with the colors yellow and black as an icon of hazard or demarcation, askew dreamscapes, philosophical and religious doubts, biblical references, ritualistic prayer-like communications, poetic outbursts, textual repetition, and intrinsic ruminations similar to forbidden diary entries. Can you explain how you came to a decision to include this wide range of content in Genealogy, as opposed to compartmentalizing the content in another fashion, such as separating the content into various smaller books or chapbooks, or expanding the content so that each subject is its own more lengthy work of literature?
The work with this book, Genealogy, started because I've always been writing a lot, and I started actually, if we should start from the beginning, I started when I was 14 years old to write down my dreams. I found it interesting in many ways that there was some sort of activity going on in the sort of nighttime and in the subconscious and in this kind of state of sleeping. And so I was fascinating about that, and of course I was stimulated by reading about the surrealists and Sigmund Freud, and I also came across Immanuel Swedenborg, old seer of visions from Sweden in the 18th century. He was traveling a lot and he wrote everything in Latin, but he wrote one book in Swedish, actually, and that was his dream diaries. And I came across that one when I was 16 years old, and that book gave me some sort of encouragement, and I felt that, well, this is good. I can continue to write down my dreams. It could be a relation to what I was longing for to work with art. I've been continuing since that. So many of my writings and texts are related to different projects. For instance, if I release a CD, I often have quite extensive amount of text that explain the basic for the project or some sort of context around the project. In this genealogy, I've collected different of these older projects and put them together, and I also wrote new stuff. I put it together into this collection of writings. I'm really happy that it came out. It is more like a sort of archive around writings, different projects and things that I've been working with during a long period of time.
Images are also used in Genealogy, periodically sequestered and always black and white. Do you prefer using black and white images to complement your text rather than color, Or was the motivation to choose black and white images located elsewhere?
Of course, this was a sort of economical point of view that I had to just print the book black and white. It would have been nice to include some full color images as well. But if I go through the book now and see the images together with the text, I think it works pretty good, actually, that they are black and white. So it's more like it doesn't have this kind of pretentious attitude. It's more like going through a sort of newspaper or a little bit of like an old-fashioned book.
On the back cover of your book, you sum up what genealogy is about, stating, "It is a book about the suspension of time and space, about the future, and about the possibility to move freely all along coordinates simultaneously, about the realization that everything is impossible, but lies open before each and every one of us, about miracles, about the inevitable desire to dominate the world, about violence, and about death as a lifelong friendship." Many readers, they might find the statement to be vague or even intimidating, since these are difficult concepts for some of us to wrap our heads around or to tackle at all. Can you give any insight on how readers should approach your book? Genealogy's content does not shy away from life's metaphysical or philosophically driven inquiries, yet it's also based upon one's specific perception of the world around them.
It is relating to my personal history. I was adopted when I was 2 years old, and I have always been sort of circling around that basic fact, and I always had this kind of, what can I say, fear of not being alive. I used to say that during a certain period of my life when I was younger, I woke up every night and to check out that I was still here, that I was still alive, you know. I think it is very much about this feeling of having got a certain extra, what can I say, bonus. It was not actually the meaning that I should be here, because my biological parents didn't want me, so they just gave me away, and that sort of gave me, what can I say, a second chance. I had to take care of this life, even if it was not so easy from the start. And that was also, what can I say, gave me a sort of focus on the difficulties in this life and this vulnerability, this fragile existence that we are dealing with every day. All of us are dealing with every day. So, but I had this kind of feeling from the beginning that this was not meant for me. So I had to really be careful and take care of everything, because I had this experience that everything could be taken away from me very, very quickly and any time. Time was short and everything was fragile, and I had to do something with it, and it was also like a sort of inner chaos that I had to structure. I had this kind of ambition, at least, to structure it and do something with it. And I started to, what can I say, use pen and paper very early. That was very helpful, actually. That is something that most people that are working with art or are consuming art, I think they have this kind of experience that art is a fantastic tool to navigate through the difficulties in this life. I must say I'm really happy that I had this kind of opportunity, this privilege to work with art. When I'm talking about art, that has absolutely nothing to do with the art world, with museums or galleries or critics or whatever. It's more like a sort of substantial, fundamental, basic force that is pushing us forward. That is fantastic. And that's why I wrote this little text on the backside of the book, for trying to make some clearness around at least my ambition with my work.
I was wondering if your intentions for genealogy are a little bit different than your other literary projects, if you had sort of like a separate set of goals that somehow set this book apart or aside from the others that you have accomplished in the past.
I think so. As I mentioned earlier, this is a collection of different writings around different projects. It is also included writings that doesn't have anything to do with anything else. It was really satisfying to see how all these ambitions with the different writings, the different texts, came together. In that way, it's sort of structure that hopefully gives out the image of what has been going on for me during a long period of time.
Do you feel that genealogy turned out the way that you initially envisioned? And if it didn't, what specifically had changed over time?
I was not so sure what should be the result, actually, when I started this book. I had this kind of feeling that I have to put together my texts, put them in a book. I had this kind of strong feeling that this was important for me to have them there. I always used to talk about archiving. I was eager, actually, to put together all those texts that I had been doing through so many years. I didn't have a certain plan or something. It was more like this kind of project to just collect them and have them archived.
How do you work when creating texts such as genealogy? Do you work in your studio or from home or in public spaces or like whenever or wherever you can? Is your writing time structured or organized in any particular way?
No, it is not organized at all, I think. It is more like writing when it's possible. I like this opportunity you have. I can sit on a bus or in a plane, or I can lay in my bed early in the morning. I can wake up and after having experienced a dream, or note down my dream, and then I can continue, because that dream triggered some other ideas or some other words, and I can just continue. It is more like a little bit like fishing in a way. Pull out the line and see what will come there. Or sometimes I don't even search for it. It is more like coming in front of me, appear in front of me. But of course, there is also texts that are more related to different projects. Let's say a sound project, for instance, more conceptual. Then I'm more having a method by doing it in a more clear and conscious way. It is always a mixture of all these kind of things. It is not organized, or I take the opportunity when it comes to me. I'm happy about that.
Do you find that your life changes when you're writing a book, such as genealogy or a longer work of literature or fiction?
Absolutely, yeah. But in this case, it was more concentrated, like one book with a quite extensive amount of text in it. It gave me encouragement. I felt that I have some self-confidence to go on with texts, and they could be looked upon as actually a sort of literature.
Would you say that you enter some kind of zone, and does this zone interfere with your daily life? Or maybe there is no sort of differentiation between the writing zone and your daily life? Do you find any sort of division happens? Does it happen on its own, or do you create it?
That is really interesting, actually, because as I often refer to my dreams, I can say that my dreams have always been a really important part of my daily life. I note down my dreams, and I've learned to be concentrated on my dreams. I have this kind of opportunity to write them down when I wake up in the morning, and they often stay in that way because of that, because I write them down. So I can sort of work with them, if I may say so, during daytime. I can use them as a sort of nourishment, basic soil to plant thing in that I can continue work with during daytime.
Do you have any political motivations and sentiments when writing genealogy? And did these feelings change over time with your personal writing process?
Absolutely, yes. Our daily life is political, and how we are interacting with each other in the society where we are living, wherever we are living. Most people in this life, on this planet, are living in a very, very unfair situation, an injustice situation. Even if we that are living in the rich Western world, I think we have everything, but most of the people are living even here, in this part of the world, doesn't have possibilities to fulfill their life. It is really important to overcome these kind of feelings of being a sort of underdog or inferior. To work with art, whatever you're doing, is one way to overcome these inferior positions and take care of your own life. Try to do something, to lift yourself in the hair, in your hair, like Baron von Münchhausen, for instance, and do something with your life. You're not only a sort of employee or whatever. This life is a gift when you're being born into this life. Every person entering into this life have this kind of feeling that his or her life is unique, have this kind of longing that it is extremely important to do something with it, to fulfill something that is involving you, yourself, so to say. And then I think that art, to work with art, either you are writing a text or making a drawing or making some music or whatever, it is playing an enormous important part in this way of structuring your life, having this kind of feeling that you can change your life, you can do something, because you are equal to a president or a king or a queen or whatever. So you're one of billions of people inhabiting this planet, and we are all equal.
A lot of writers, they write because they feel that they are left with no other choice. Many feel that once they begin writing, they can never really stop. Do you feel this way about writing? Is writing in any way a drug or a release for you? Does it serve as catharsis or release in any way?
Definitely a release. I feel like this is a privilege to have this opportunity. And it took me a really long time to get this kind of courage that it takes to publish my texts and have this kind of feeling that, well, it's fine, it's good. You can use them, show them and print them. When I realized this, it was really a release, because I have this kind of open door. It's like a communication possibility. I don't mind if there are any listeners. I write and I make my drawings, let's say, or music for myself, because it is part of a personal structure that is not only egocentric. It is a part of a bigger structure, social structure. I don't have any ambition to be successful or commercial or whatever. I just do it because I need to do it.
If you could you please read pages 47 to 48 for the audience?
Organized powers have since the beginning of time taken over the fundamental and most important symbols to serve their strategies. The visualization and interpretation of the gods, the incarnations of the gods, the roles of the kings, queens, priests, politicians, soldiers, managers, celebrities, etc. Power itself has always legitimized itself by pointing out its close connection to the overall, covering, mysterious unknown, often named with different names of God, like economy. They have pointed out the important structure, like talking about their relation to this almighty power as similar to the people's relation to them in a hierarchical system. A model that has been steadily working since the beginning of the beginning. A fantastic and completely secure strategy, because it is built on the basic and eternally present fear of death. In the history of madness, you have a well-known caricature of a madman with a paper crown or something on his head, proclaiming his kingdom and his power. That is always an image that generates laughter and ridicule. It is, of course, compensation for the lowest position, a caricature of a person who lost all his power, everything. The circle is closed, and the identification and the confusion of these two human positions, the king and the lunatic, are total. These symbols still have their evident validity. They are fundamental and simple. They are filled with historical and social power that can generate an inner energetic image for everyone that can be useful for the future. They can be silly, filled with humor, and they can be extremely serious, dangerous.
Leif, thank you so much for meeting with me today so we could record an excerpt from your book, Genealogy. Visit www.vilville.se for upcoming AmScan Lit podcasts. Thank you for listening.